later generations would actually use this argument of mission to the nations to justify the dispersion of the Jewish people. Now, this is important because the dispersion of the Jewish people in the Bible, or rather in the books of Moses and in some of the prophets, is really a punishment. They will be dispersed as a result of their sins. And yet later generations will say maybe it's just the other way around. They were dispersed because they have to be a beacon and a light to the nations, and the only way they can be a light to the nations if they are among the nations. What is interesting is that already the early church, early Christianity, saw the dispersion of Israel as a stage towards the spreading of Christianity. They actually considered the dispersion of Israel among the nations to be what is referred to in Latin as a preparatio evangelica, as an evangelical preparation, sort of a paving of the way. Jews would be scattered. They would spread the word of monotheism in a very general manner. And then the earliest teachers of Christianity, and in particular Paul, would come and continue where they had left off. And clearly that was the case in the first centuries. We know of a phenomena of God-fearers throughout much of the ancient world who had come into contact with Jews of the diaspora, maybe even visited synagogues, and picked up ideas of monotheism. They never joined the Jewish community, but they did two major steps. They left the idolatrous world. They were willing to embrace monotheism, and then when the church showed up, they would ultimately find their way into the church. And so here already you find a notion that Jews have a role that transcends their own existence. They have a role within the world, but it's not a role to render everybody else Jewish. Now this concept that God chose Israel for a universal mission is the major distinction between the pagan notion of a national or tribal God and the relationship of Israel with its God. What I mean is, the pagan world also assumed that every tribe and every nation has its God. But that never was the result of a choice. That was a given. That was a reality. In the pagan world, every tribe had its God. And that God went by a particular name. And that God did not choose the tribe, nor did the tribe choose that God. It was a fact of life. Whereas the national component, as it were, of the Jewish religion was that God chose Israel, but it was a mutual choice. Israel also had to choose God. And the Bible stresses that the covenant between God and Israel was a mutual one. Each chose the other. We have in a scripture, today you have proclaimed the Lord to be your God, and today the Lord has proclaimed you to be his special people. So there's something unique here. After the Bible, in post-biblical times, Jewish thinkers nevertheless asked why this special relationship came about. Now for some, the answer, or the justification, if we wish, for God's choice was the merit of the patriarchs. He liked your fathers, hence he chose you. For instance, in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 15, only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them. But of course, this doesn't really answer the question. It merely passes the buck back in history. So, yes, he chose Israel because he liked their fathers, but then the question is, why did he like their fathers? And this is a major problem. And that great Jewish thinker to whom we have alluded throughout our lectures, Maimonides, notwithstanding his rationalism, or perhaps because of his rationalism, ultimately proclaimed, we simply cannot know what lies behind God's actions. And in this case, we don't know what were the reasons, what reasons might have provoked this particular choice. It's beyond us. Other medieval writers, one in particular, Judah Halevi, who was a Spanish Jew, died in 1141. He was a brilliant poet, as well as a legal scholar. He suggested some distinct characteristic among the Jewish people that warranted such a choice. And Halevi was probably one of the extreme proponents of that idea. Although the idea does resonate in Kabbalistic teaching as well. The Kabbalists try to find something unique in the makeup and in the character of Israel. There's a Kabbalistic or a Zoharic statement that that Israel and God and Torah are one. They are of one essence. Whatever the reasons for this election or selection of Judaism was, Judaism did not create an ethnic or racial barrier that prevented others from joining the faith. And consequently, not only the faith, but as we have said, the community as well.